Stuttgart, das Tor ist leer. Alles oder nichts. Das komplette Fleisch ist aus dem Grill, auf dem Grill die Ecke kommt. Und er ist drin! Und er ist drin! Der absolute Wahnsinn! Der VfB Stuttgart bleibt in der ersten Fußball-Bundesliga. Schiebt sich vor.
Welcome to episode 93 of VFH Stuttgart Americana, an American-based English-language VFH Stuttgart fan podcast where we're unofficial, uninformed, usually unprepared. This is episode 93, a pretty special number for, you know, supporters of this club. You know, we're still, Matt, at the top-ish of the table as today wrapped up. We're still in the top nine. I mean, that's got to be pretty positive, right? How you feeling? You feeling positive?
Nine is better than 17. So yeah, as long as we're like above 15, I'm relatively content.
The bar is pretty high around these parts. That guy is Matt. You can reach him at Sail Racer. My name is Travis. You can reach me at Hazelfish. You can reach us together at Valve Americana. We've got a website. We've got everything. If you want more positivity like that, reach out to us. Matt, is that pretty much what we've got, that positivity? Anything else we should throw out there?
Not a whole lot of positivity after Friday.
Oh man, what an intro.
Strap in, it'll be a fun one.
Let's go to shout outs. And you know what? I forgot to do Valve Bingo for the second week in a row, Matt. I don't know what I'm doing. Were there any cliches you remember from the match? We had old friend Sean Dundee, former Stuttgart player, who was definitely pulling for the guys. Do you remember any cliches from this game? Because there's a lot from this game I try to forget.
So I unfortunately had to watch almost all of this game on mute while I even listened into a very important conference call that I probably didn't need to be on, but was asked to attend. So I was there. So I miss stuff. I know from the first week we heard the endo to Liverpool a lot, and how's the team going to survive without their captain? And so I think endo to Liverpool will be a recurring theme this year that should definitely make it on the bingo card.
Oh, that's a good idea. Pod predictions, Travis, Austin, and Jeff all tied with 5 wins this week. Matt, you were in your familiar place in their last place here. The OFC Cleveland watch party, it's still in the works. I've reached out to 3 different pubs, and just like prom, I'm waiting for all 3 of them to get back to me as to what's going to happen. The VfB Frauen haven't started their regular season yet, but they did beat Sindelfingen, which, Matt, I love saying Sindelfingen, 4-0 in the Pokal to advance to the round of 16. Can you say Sindelfingen and just not have a smile on your face?
Sindelfingen is one of those words that just, it's like a giggle. It's a verbal giggle. Sindelfingen. One of the things I wanted to comment quick on the Frauen is they were up 2-0 at halftime and then 2 in the second half. From what I saw of that game, they were applying consistent pressure to Sindelfingen and were just not letting up at all, which is awesome.
Yeah, I don't know if Sindelfingen actually exists and the Stuttgart website just throws it out there, but I love. Good luck next week against Doublefingen, ladies. The former Valve Bears, Sasha Kalajic, got on the pitch for Wolverhampton in the 85th minute, and 2 minutes later, I don't know if you saw the highlights of this, Matt, he scored his first goal for them. Classic Kalajic goal, long ball into the box. He got a head on it, went into the goal. Who is your favorite former current VfB player who's out there right now?
Favorite former current player.
You're welcome.
It's probably Sasa right now. It was Oriol Romeu for a while, who was playing for Southampton, my English side piece. But I love Sasa. Just he was such a positive and important part of our team for so long, and he just clearly still has a love for VfB. So it's really great to see him having some success after the injuries that he's had.
Yeah, there's a great YouTube two-part series about him and his setbacks and his trip to Wolverhampton, if you get a chance to check it out. OFC news, OFC Fantasy Bundesliga, Village Footy, congratulations to them. They won this week, so if you're not giving them a follow, give them a follow on the interweb, on the YouTube. They do a great job every week. They give some love to Valpe. OFC tip spiel, so the predicting, Travis, myself, and Kai Guy out in Iceland, we are tied for first. We're 1 point behind I Am Rob Holloway, so looking to win that jersey that Sam's throwing out there for our prize. Matt, OFC man of the match, 65% of the OFC voted for this particular player. Who do you think it was? Who do you think the OFC man of the match for this particular match against Leipzig was?
I voted for Ito because I thought he was uncharacteristically decent in our defense for this game. That was about all we could get, was decent. But I'm going to bet most people voted for Sigurd Rossi.
The votes came in. There was votes for no one. There was votes for Fabian Bredlow for not having to play. There was votes for the referee. The traveling support got a number of votes, but 65% of the voters chose Sigurd Rossi as their man of the match. Hard to argue. He had that goal that put us in the lead and gave us a little bit of hope. Do you have any hope going into the rest of this podcast? Because we are moving into part two and we got to talk about the match now.
I feel like at some point we'll find something positive to grab onto. We always manage to do it. I believe in us, Travis.
All right, bartender, another round. Let's move on to part two. All right, so here we are, part two. So we go to Leipzig. Now, we're coming off that huge win against Bochum, and we all knew we were being just crazy optimistic. We were having so much fun with the memes about us being at the top of the table. We're winning the Bundesliga. We were one of the top teams in all of Europe based on a number of websites. We knew we were in for a rough go. Two questions to you. What were your thoughts going into this match? And then when you saw they opened up with that green kit, what did you think about that? Because I was a little surprised by that.
I was thinking that we had a puncher's chance at a victory, and I would have been very content with a draw, and even probably a one-goal loss would have been a shrug and a, yeah, well, it's Leipzig. That's, you know, things happen. The kit, I did not know that was coming until I turned the game on and was pleasantly surprised. I thought it was pretty cool. I saw a lot of people online didn't care for it, saying green's not a VfB color. It is the official color of the Deutsche Fußballbund, so maybe a little hat tip to the DFB. But I thought it was sharp.
Yeah, I didn't quite understand the color scheme either, but I remember we had the recycled kind of camouflage green a couple of years ago, and everybody really loved that. This one really grew on me, especially as the match started up and we were up a goal. I was like, I love this kid now.
It's greatest.
This is the best. We both thought that this would be a close one. I think last week you predicted it would be around a 2-2 or a 2-1 result going in Valpe's favor. I thought it would be a 2-1 result going in Leipzig's favor, but we both thought that we would cover the spread in this one, which was a goal. And sadly, we were a little bit off, you know, on that one. As the match started up, I wasn't too surprised by the lineup at all. It turned out Enzo Milo was out because of muscle issues. They wanted to rest him a little bit. So it wasn't a discipline issue. It wasn't a strategic issue. It was more just he had some muscle issues, and so they wanted to rest him a little bit. So Leon Agloff got in the match, which we've all wanted to see, which unfortunately, we'll talk about this later, we didn't see much of him. I don't really have much thoughts on the lineup. It's what worked the previous week. Why not roll with it again? You got any thoughts on it, or just, yeah, more of the same. Let's go.
It was fine. Agloff getting a start. I'm not as high on him as a lot of people are. I felt like when he came in as a sub for the last game, he looked like he was trying real hard and was kind of out of place. Like, it's when your little brother showed up to your team practice and you know, he's out there giving it all, but he's just like, you're 10, you're playing with a bunch of teenagers. You're just not physically up for this yet. So I don't know. He was relatively invisible, I felt, through the game, which as a midfielder is not great, and a little concerning that he got the start over somebody like Haraguchi. It makes me wonder where that dude's at.
Yeah, I think it was more of a Egloff is kind of in that Alexander Maxim role that we talked about a couple weeks ago, where we all love the idea of him, but I think that's the difference between him and Milo, is Milo can play offense and defense in that midfield, whereas Egloff, I think, is much more of an attacking mid, and asking him to play back, maybe he was doing a good job for the first 30 minutes and we didn't see it, but it was, I thought it was a bit of a rough start, but in his defense, it was a rough start for everybody. So let's go to Captain Waldy Anton. So Anton's analysis, so quote, here's what he said, quote, after the break, we can see the unfortunate goal and something happened to the team. We made it too easy for Leipzig too often, and that's how we deserve to lose in the end. We didn't go 100% in the duels anymore, and that punishes it. A team against Leipzig, or punish us against a team like Leipzig badly, end quote. And I think that was kind of the point. I love this stat that you brought up a couple of weeks ago about FotMob has got this amazing, I think, new analysis where they can do the momentum chart. And if you look at what FotMob put out there, there was basically three phases of this game that Stuttgart was eye to eye with Leipzig. The first 30 minutes, then the middle 30 minutes, we were definitely on our heels, as it seemed like we really upset them. And then the last 30 minutes, we were just waving the white towel. We're like, please get us out of here. Yeah. It was almost like the good, the bad, and the ugly for those. So let's talk about the first 30 minutes. So we were playing encountering, I thought, really well. If you look at the FotMob, you know, data on this, Leipzig was in charge. You know, I think there were some comments that we were dominating the first 30 minutes. I don't think we were dominating. Sean Dundee said we should have been up. And I do agree with that. We had the better chances. We were more dangerous, I think, than Leipzig was. So let's talk about the guy who made us dangerous, Seiru Girassi. He seemed to be the key guy, like he always was. The thing that I saw is he had three legit chances. He had a chance off a rebound. He had a chance off a header. And then he finally had another chance that he put in. One out of three isn't too bad for a striker. What struck you in those first 30 minutes? Because I was watching, and I was like, okay, we've got these sweet green kits. We got Seiru scoring the goal. We're eye to eye with these guys. Things were looking really good for the first third of this match.
It was so, yeah, we were going, there was a lot of back and forth. It was kind of a track meet, which is kind of fun to watch. But I was really concerned. It felt like the breakdown from Leipzig was more failure to execute on their part than our defense stepping up and disrupting what they were trying to do. So I was nervous throughout most of the first 30 minutes, just waiting for something to break. Fortunately, it made it until right after the half for that to happen. It could have been worse, but Girassi's the rebound that he put over the bar, you can kind of understand that ball came back at him pretty quick. Didn't have a chance to get set. The goal he scored was amazing. Just really great control, good self-discipline to not shoot it right away, but put himself in a better position for a better angle shot. I missed the header. I must have been telling somebody irrelevant on that conference call, but I didn't feel great at the end of the first half. It was like, I feel like we're on our heels more than they are. We were getting a little bit of pressure. We were countering well. I'm leery of our defense right now being able to stand up to the pressure of a skilled team like Leipzig, who have the capability to unlock a bunkering defense like we had.
I don't think our defense was super at fault to begin with. I think what happened, it seemed like, is after we scored that goal, which we were rightfully in the lead, I thought the first 30 minutes we were going toe to toe with these guys and we were rightfully in the lead. I think like after we scored that goal, we kind of hunkered down a little bit. And I don't think it was intentional, because Honus looked more upset than I've seen him since he's taken over as this match progressed. I just think it was a natural inclination where you're playing against somebody who is definitely above your weight level, so to speak. And you get the first punch in, you get the first goal and you're like, uh-oh. That's awesome, but I know they're going to start throwing roundhouses at me. I know they're going to come at me with their best. And so I need to back off a little bit. I think by backing off, this goes with what Anton said, by backing off and giving them space, they're just more talented than we are. And that allowed them to be more creative. And really in that next 30 minutes, that's where I agree with you, is you're like, oh no. And this is, let's talk about Alexander Neuel. He had a couple fantastic saves to keep us in the match as the match was, trending towards the end of the first half and as the second half started. But he had that just classic Florian Müller-esque mistake. Dan Axel passed it back, maybe a little lazy. Alex hit, kicked it. Unfortunately, it ricocheted right off the dude, goes right into the goal. And then a few plays later, there's a goal that's ruled out that he kind of fluffs and it goes in. Let's talk about a couple things here. That next 30 minutes, Valpe was on their heels. I think that's a little easier to analyze. It's a case of that's a more talented team versus a relatively young team that didn't know how to handle the lead. But let's talk Alex. We got this guy to stabilize defense. How much of this do you put on him? Because he's going to end up letting in 5 goals all told. Or how much of this is just, bad luck for him?
That first goal, not a great pass back from Daxo, but what Neuvel should have done is recognize that he was put in an impossible position by his defender and just put it out for a corner. Just accept reality. This is a young person mistake. You get it, I think I can still make this happen. And a more experienced keeper, I think, would have put it out, tried to get it to the flag for a throw. And if not, it's a corner and, you're going to deal with that. So I'll hang him, hang that one on him. The other four,
I just want to stop you. The fact you have to say the other four, that's rough.
It's not great. We'll put the two that got called back aside for a minute. The other four that counted, there was a lot of really bad defending. And there are spots, the fifth goal is kind of the great story of this game. Neuvel makes a great save on a rushing Red Bull player. The defense are getting back, and the save goes out for a rebound, and the Red Bull guy has time and space to gather it while the Falcao Bay defenders stand there and watch him do it. And it's like, the axiom that we had on the hockey teams that I play on was you need to count on your goalie for the first save. Everything after that's the defense's fault. So Neuvel made that first save and his teammates did not come to his aid for the aftermath. And he didn't get in a great position getting back, but he's scrambling after making a hard save already. And it's just a lot of the other goals. One of them deflected off a Falcao Bay defender and went in. Two of them guys just had room and made plays. And we gave a talented, highly paid Red Bull team time and space. And you can't do that if you're going to survive.
Yeah, one of the things that, and this kind of gets us into the last 30 minutes, is at that point, you almost could tell that Valpe just wanted this game to be over with. The body language of some of these guys wasn't great. It looked like Seiru wanted out of the match. Hiroki didn't look like he was super excited to be out there. So let's talk about it. This was one of the first games where Honus has been under criticism a little bit because his substitutions didn't make a lot of sense. At least it didn't to me. It's when Borna came in for Silas around the 60th minute, I think a lot of us were kind of like, huh, I don't really understand this. And going to your point on defense, in my opinion, it looked like Borna was directly responsible for at least two of those goals where he just was behind the offensive player and the offensive player was able to head it in and he was offering no resistance. And I don't think that was Neuvel's fault at all. And then Genki and Massimo came in for Egloff and Stenzel around the 70th minute. We were down 3-1 at that point. You're like, all right, Massimo's got a little bit more offensive power than Stenzel. Egloff, I don't think, played a very good match at that point. So you're putting Genki just to stabilize things. I wish he would have put Leveling in a little bit earlier. I thought Wu Yang was pretty invisible in this match. And then getting Mittelstadt in the 90th minute, I think it was good to get him in. Chris, I think, played a pretty good match, all things together. Let's talk about the invisibility here. Egloff, I thought, was invisible. Wu Yang, I thought, was invisible. I thought Borna, unfortunately, was visible. And we talked
about in a good way.
Not in a good way, right? How he's kind of the last man standing of Endo, Dino, and Borna. And defense is not his forte. And it looked like Honus was trying to put him in that Silas wingback position. But I don't know, man. Borna looked exposed and he looked bad. And I can just see his value plummeting as he's out there more and more. And if we're going to play a four at the back, which is what it's looking like we're going to, I don't know what his role on this club is. And we have always said that his defense isn't the best. But man, oh man, he looked really rough against Leipzig on Saturday.
Well, he's played that left back position at a four at the back before for us, and he's been okay. But he's not a great defender. He's great at attacking from the defensive position. And the crosses in, which we talked about last week, is kind of becoming a dying art in today's Bundesliga. And with the roster we have, he doesn't have a target. So I don't know where he fits right now in this lineup. And he's a great player. He's got a lot of really good skills. I just don't know that his skills match up with the needs that we have and with his teammates. Who's going to be the guy that he's bombing in balls into? He could play at that left back spot with Carazor serving as a safety valve for him and at the midfield and kind of covering back a little bit. But then are you gonna sit Ito for Sosa? I'm not. He's one-sided. If he could play both sides, you could put him on the right-hand side for Stenzel. But Stenzel's playing okay right now. I don't know what you do with him.
I don't think we've ever had a player during our fandom whose heights have been so high, but his lows are so low right now. I think it'll be crazy because I think Hiroki Ito really covered for him in a lot of ways on that left-hand side because that allowed Borna to go up and down because Hiroki was there to cover for him. And I don't know. He looked really rough there. Let's talk about Honus just for a second. This is the first match that we've been blown out since he's been in charge, right? We've had a rough match. We had that Berlin match at the end of last season when everything was on the line and we went in, and I believe we lost 2-0 in that match. Looked totally unprepared, totally overwhelmed. This is the first time where we looked blown out. And we've always talked about this with Honus. For the most part, his team seemed to get better in the second half. This is only the second time really where they've gotten worse in the second half. Anything we should be concerned about, or was it just one of those things where we're facing a team that's fighting for the title and you know what? It is what it is.
I'm not worried about anything yet. I was surprised to see the drop off in the second half because of, the history that we've seen with Honus, as you mentioned. I'm not losing sleep yet. It's only the second game of the season. A lot of football left to play. But something that started to worry me a little bit is how much of Endo's resolve and calming influence on the field is gone. Now that it's gone, how much is that going to hurt us? Would this have been maybe a 3-1 game if we had Wataru Endo on the field telling everybody, hey, chill out, calm down, it'll be okay. We've got a really young team. We're relying on Anton to shepherd them on the field. And I don't know. I'm not saying he can't do it, and I'm not saying these guys can't do it. I'm just wondering if moving from Endo's more kind of stoic, solid, steady personality to Anton's more fiery, up and down mentality, if that's going to come and sometimes be a real asset, but sometimes bite us when things get a little shaky.
Right. I like how 1 week ago we were like, you know what, Anton can, they can totally take over this Dino, and who needs Endo? Now we're like, hey, come back. Where'd you go?
Fish and chips aren't that great.
Right. All right. So the final thoughts, and here's the reality. The thing that I want to focus on is Leipzig is good. They're really good. I mean, the subs they brought in on towards the end of the match, when you're bringing on Timo Werner around the 75th minute, I'm sorry, that's as much as Stuttgart supporters might not like him from the time he spent. He's a legitimate national team player. They're really good. And they lost to Leverkusen by one. And Leverkusen destroyed Gladbach this weekend. And they look really good. So I think Leipzig's going to be challenging for the title. Oh, by the way, they beat Bayern 3-0 in the Super Cup. So we always kind of start the season, at least it seems like, Matt, the last couple of years, breaking it down into there's three matches, right? There's the match we should win, the match that we shouldn't win, and a match that will kind of show us where we're going to be. So this year we had Bochum, blew them out. Should have won.
As we should have.
Right. Leipzig, got blown out. Okay. Right. Should have lost that.
Yep.
We got Freiburg coming up, which is probably, it's not fair to call them a mid-table team, but you know what? It seems like everything's kind of trading the same way it has the last couple of years, where we can really get a gauge on this team. Plus, all the table results really went our way this weekend outside of the Bochum match. Bochum got a draw with Dortmund. I mean, at the end of the day, like you said, we're two matches in. We're still ninth on the table, which is really stupid to say because we only have 3 points. But, you know, we're not Cologne. We're not Bremen. We're not Heidenheim. You know, we don't have 0 points. So my final thoughts are like you said. We blew out the team we were supposed to blow out. We lost the team we're supposed to lose to. You know what? The whole season's ahead of us. There's more positive. We played three really good halves and one really bad one. You know what? I guess if you extrapolate that over the course of 30, you know, four matches, we'll be okay. I mean, so what are your final thoughts as we, you know, end this match?
I'm honestly stretching to come up with things to talk about with this match. I was not, like, it got done and I was bummed out, but also I kind of went like, meh. You know, we're not playing against Leipzig for a table position. They're in a different area than we are. Our race is against other teams. And I think you're right. The Freiburg match will provide a really interesting test. And I'm more interested long-term in how these guys respond from this beatdown. Do they have a positive week of practice? Do they show up this weekend ready to fight, ready to play really hard? Or do they have shell shock and they show up against Freiburg and still like wonder why they're here? I think that'll tell us a lot about the mentality of the guys now that some of the leadership is gone. That'll tell us a lot about Honus and his influence on the team and where everybody's at. And I really want to see Neubel come out and just have a solid game, because I don't think a lot of those were his fault, but he's a keeper, so he probably feels they're all his fault. Fatmob did not rate him favorably. He was the worst rated player on the field. So I think it's less about the results of this game and more about what they do moving on from this game. That'll have a bigger impact on what happens for the rest of the season.
Excellent segue, Matt. Let us move on to news, headlines, and questions, and ask the eternal question, did Travis's jersey show up yet? All right. Part three, news, headlines, and questions. Matt, we have to say goodbye to Clinton Mola. His contract was terminated by mutual consent. The 22-year-old, he was never able to catch on. The reason why we know a lot about him is one of our good friends, Brendo, loved Clinton Mola. Any last words for Clinton as he's pursuing, roommates with Tengai Koulibaly or something? I don't know.
He was a guy that I wasn't ever sure where he would fit. He was a defender, but also a midfielder. He was a big guy for a midfielder, but not quite fast enough to play midfield. He wasn't quite big enough to really be a central defender.
Yeah.
So he didn't quite fit. And he seems like a guy that might be a really good second division player. But he's just not physically built. Like, neither are you or I. He's not physically built to play in the Bundesliga.
Yeah, I never quite – I was excited because he had played for the England youth international clubs, but it never just worked out. But we do have another 22-year-old who's coming on. So let's take a minute to talk about him. Angelo Stiller, 6 feet tall, 22. He's from Hoffenheim via Bayern Munich. He and Honus worked together for the Bayern youth team, and actually they won the third division championship back in the 2020-2021 season. He played 26 and then 20 games for Hoffenheim the last two seasons, but he played less and less under our old friend Pellegrino, who took over last year for Hoffenheim. We got him for about $5 to $6 million. His value is rated right around there. We got a contract till 2027. He is a central defensive mid. He has come in as the Endo replacement. This is a like for like, basically replacement here. Fabian Vogelmuth said, quote, at 22, he's already an established Bundesliga player, but he still has plenty of potential for development, and end quote. And this really does fit the strategy that Stuttgart has talked about getting German players who know the area. He knows Honus. I'm excited about this kid. I'm excited because he's going to wear number 6. You know, the number one of my favorite players, Georg Niedermeyer. So hopefully he can reach that level of success. Any comments? He's signed, delivered. He's with us. He's going to be the new, you know, central defensive mid. You know, any thoughts on him?
We can only hope he's the second most successful player to wear the number 6 at Stuttgart. And clearly he's not going to surpass your boy Niedermeyer. But if he can be number 2, that's, you know, there's no shame in that. That's good company to be in. I know absolutely nothing about this kid. My hope is that since Honus worked with him before, Honus knows what he does, knows how he works, and knows that he'll fit well with the locker room. And fit into that endo-sized hole that we have in our midfield. And if we can put, if he's a like-for-like guy with Endo, we can set him next to Carazor, and those two guys can really help bolster what, you know, Friday looked like a really shaky defense. So that could be a really good move. And then we've got an option to slide in somebody who's a little more attacking-minded, like an Enzo Mio, when it's warranted. So I'm hopeful, but I know absolutely nothing about this dude.
I don't know much. I'm just excited that they've got Wu Yang and Angelo, who are two guys that Honus has worked with and likes. And so they're letting him get guys he knows that hopefully can run whatever his system is and hopefully have some success with it. So Angelo, welcome to the club. Georg Niedermeyer, big slow feet you got to fill there, buddy. So good luck. Good luck. Let's do some rapid fire questions from the OFC here. So Rob Holloway said, I let myself get too comfortable after the Bochum game, and I went into this match with a little too much optimism, especially after Guirassy scored the goal. Matt, do you agree? Were we just too comfy after last week and just not realistic going into this one?
No, I think we ran up against a buzzsaw. Leipzig's really, really good. That whole first half, they looked really, really good, and we looked like we were hanging on.
Yeah, I think we weren't. Well, I do think we were pretty optimistic. I'll agree with Rob on this one. I was giddy. I was like, woohoo, we've got chances. I thought, oh, we'll get 6 points. We'll be at the top. This will be the greatest story ever. And then, you know, very quickly everything fell apart. We got put back where we should be and all that stuff. And I had somebody who was a Leipzig fan respond to our Twitter account about how we don't know anything and we need to shut up. And I think Rob responded back as like, no, they do know something. And they can say what they want, but Rob said it in German, so I couldn't understand a bit he said. But Rob, thanks for having our back there.
Good on you, Rob.
Yeah, unless I misinterpreted that and you actually agreed with them. I don't know. DC Vinneman says, it looks like it's going to be another one of those years. I don't really agree. Somebody said this on Twitter, too, about how this roster actually isn't that good. And I know we always get into that argument. I like the fact we've got Honus. I like the fact we've got Guirassy. I do think we've got some talent on this club. I think there's an old saying in sports, it's like you're never as good as one result indicates, and you're never as bad as the other result indicates. I mean, at the end of the day, we've got 3 points after two matches. We've got a +1 goal differential. That's probably where we're at. So DC, I'm hoping this isn't going to be one of those seasons. I'm actually a little bit more optimistic, Matt. You optimistic, or you agree with DC that, boy, we're in for a roller coaster?
I think we're a lot more the team against Bochum than we are the team against Red Bull. I think we had a couple bad things happen and the young guys let it get in their head and they kind of fell apart. And that's something that'll get fixed over the course of the season. I still have faith in Honus to do that. I know I was bagging on Anton a little bit, but I feel like he's growing into a captaincy role. Had a great role model in Endo. So it's early. This is the second game of the season. It's still August, guys. Like, settle in. Got a lot of games to play.
It's the sky is falling. Speaking of the sky falling, here we go. All right. So Tim at ShoeMeFan75, frequent contributor to the show. So thanks, Tim. Asked this question, which I think a lot of people are asking. He says, quote, someone explain to me in what way is Neubel better than Bredlow? The Bochum match, he didn't have much to do. The Leipzig match made him look like Florian Mueller. From what I've seen, Bredlow is a better keeper, end quote. Now, that's a pretty hot take from Tim here. You mentioned a little bit earlier. I will say this. I think Alex, his distribution of the ball is the best we've seen since Gregor Kobel. If you're trying to start out in the back, I really like what he's trying to do. I think he's really good on crosses, and he has some really good reflex saves. He does have some fluffs, though, and I do wonder, he was at Monaco, he was at Bayern, he didn't go back to Bayern, and they're going with really what is considered a backup goalie at this point, instead of him. So I do have some questions about how really legitimate Alexander Neubel is. I do think he's an upgrade over who we've had in the past. I think where Fabian Bredlow was really good is he was steady. He was just solid. And I have nothing but praise for that guy. There's rumors he might end up in Hertha Berlin because of he's on the future with Bobby. But to Tim's point, Alex didn't have a great match. Any thoughts on Neubel versus Bredlow or Neubel? I mean, I hate to be in a situation where we're just going to support the guy because he's our guy, but he's not really our guy. He's only here for 32 more matches, really.
I feel like Neubel's got a lot of upside, and he's got a much higher ceiling than Bredlow does. His floor right now appears to be a little bit lower, but I don't know that it's a lot lower. So Bredlow is, as you said, he's steady. He's not going to do anything spectacular, but he's not going to do anything super boneheaded to get you in trouble. I don't feel like the goals that Leipzig got were goals because Neubel was out of position or he was making bad decisions, bar that first one. That was a brain fart. The thing that we saw over and over again with Florian Mueller is he would be going for a walk in the park while the other team is coming to attack. And we didn't see that from Neubel. I'm not ready to pass judgment on the guy yet, but I think the big difference between him and Mueller is Mueller was habitually out of position and habitually making big mistakes. We only saw one really huge mistake from Neubel in a game where he shipped 5 goals. So let's give it a few more weeks. Maybe by the end of October, Tim, I'll be singing your song and waiting to get this guy on the next truck out of town. But I think that's why we have Bredlow too, right? He's an insurance policy. If Neubel gets shaky, maybe he's having a rough time coming back in practice this week, Honus can put Bredlow in and we're going to be fine because Bredlow's fine. But also, he's just fine. And we want somebody who's good, not just fine, if we can get him.
Yeah, I think it was a bit of a roll of the dice to get Neubel, but I think everybody was pretty excited to get a guy of his caliber for a year because everybody knows that Simon Kidd is the future of this club, but he's a kid. And so we're rolling with Alex, you know, for this year, and Alex needs to play well for his career. So hopefully you and Tim don't agree because you two do agree. That means a lot of things have gone wrong the next few weeks here. Speaking of things going wrong, Dave Small said, you know, quote, the match exposed just how much we miss Endo, not just for his play, but also for his leadership, which is something, Matt, you said earlier, and his calming presence. We also miss the fire of Dinos in the back. You know, hoping we get good play out of our new guys, but I just don't see how we're going to replace that leadership. Need someone to step up alongside Anton. We kind of mentioned this last week, Matt. is like, who's going to step up next to Anton? Is it going to be Ito? Is it going to be the Stiller kid? Who on the roster do you think is going to step up to replace the leadership of Endo and the fiery kind of passion presence of Dino? We mentioned it last week, so I don't want to spend all year talking about how we miss those two guys, but is there anybody on the roster you are looking forward to seeing playing against Freiburg next week in particular?
Anton's got some of that fire in his belly that Dino's had. I think he's probably a little more careful about how he expresses it, because Dinos was in the position where he wasn't a captain on the team. So if he flew off the handle, okay. Like, he's not the one that the guys are all looking to as the example. He could be a little more unhinged when he wanted to be. I'm hoping that we mentioned after the first match that Ito seemed to have a lot more confidence and a little swagger in his step. It wouldn't hurt my feelings at all to see Furich and Silas and Gerasi all take a step forward in that area. It's going to kind of depend on who's playing, right? Like, Terrazor, I think, is a lock at that defensive mid position at this point, but I don't know that he's a leadership kind of dude. Maybe he is, and we just haven't seen it yet. So we're going to have to wait for the lineup to stabilize a little bit before we can start pointing and being like, this guy needs to do more of this. But again, it's early days. We've only been a week and a half without Endo. Like, that was a last second departure. It's understandable the team's feeling a little jittery, that things are in a little bit of flux. Give it a little bit of time. Hopefully somebody will emerge. If not, we have problems. Mm-hmm. But I don't think Honus would let it go that long without sitting somebody down and saying, look, I need you to do this.
Yeah, I think Valdi Anton is going to be huge in the next month. He's one of the German-speaking players on the club. I don't think it's, you know, Stiller just got here. He's 22. That he's not going to be the guy. I don't think Milo is that the guy. I don't know if a goalkeeper or a striker can be that guy. You know, we lived through the Mario Gomez period. I don't know if the striker can be that leadership guy. So I think it's a central mid / center back. And I think it's Anton. I think there's a lot on his shoulders and then armband over the next few weeks to make sure the ship heads in the right direction. Because if things go well the next 4 or 5 weeks, I think we're really trending in the right direction, because the table is really shaping up to be in our benefit here a little bit. So I think it's one of the questions here that Ross asked. I love this. He's like, if we alternate wins and losses all season long, we'll finish with 51 points. So let's go. I love it. That's perfect, right? And Kai Guy wrote, quote, I think we need to remember that we just lost to a title contender and Champions League participant. Yes, maybe 2 goals, you know, too high, but we have to win against direct competitors, end quote. I 100% agree. Right. This is the Bundesliga. It was a lot of fun for a week to think that we were in the top four. Right. That was a blast. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to lie. I had a lot of fun doing that. The reality is we're somewhere in that middle six if things go well. Right. So I 100% agree. I love Ross's optimism. I love what Kai Guy said. I mean, that's kind of where we're at. And if we can get a couple results over the next 4 or 5 matches, you know what? We're going to be exactly where we should be. And we'll be in good shape for the first time in 2 years, you know, in October.
Yeah. I wouldn't let this defeat to Leipzig rain on our parade too much. We don't get to sing about being at the top of the table anymore, but that's okay. It was fun while it lasted. let's be honest, we all knew it wasn't realistic, and that's part of the reason we're having so much fun with it. I think the team's going to be all right. I think we're going to see Anton grow into this leadership role. I think we'll see some other guys step up, and yeah, if we alternate wins and losses all season, 500 team at the end of the year, that's pretty good news. And Kai's 100% right. We just got curb stomped by one of the best teams in the world. Okay. We're not there yet. That's okay.
The last question we've got, which is going to be a great segue going into our predictions, is Rob comes back. Rob comes back and mentions, I forgot to mention that I too ordered the Valpy kit with out the sponsor on it. I live in Germany, about 90 minutes away from the stadium, Fanshop, and it took about 3.5 weeks for it to arrive. Matt, as we go into predictions, we left off with this last week. Do you think Travis got his kit that he ordered July 21st yet?
Since it was still in Stuttgart the last time we talked, I'm going to say no.
Oh, stick around for part four, people. That is correct.
What would be interesting, before we move on real quick, if somebody here in the audience is much better at math than you and I, it would be interesting to figure. It took, 6 weeks to get 90 miles? So if it took 6 weeks to get 90 miles, how many miles is Cleveland from Stuttgart? And can we extrapolate that out? I'd just be curious to know.
This is like an episode of Oregon Trail. You have dysentery.
The question is Travis going to die of dysentery before his kit shows up?
Yes. Yes, he is. I can already feel it now. Oh, boy. Well, if that is not folks, yes, Travis has not received his kit yet. But, Matt, there is good news for Travis and his wagon trail. It is in progress. I looked today as we record this. They have finally progressed it. I don't know what that means, because that's what the website says. It's in progress. So that's better than in process, I suppose. So I'm feeling pretty good about that.
Yeah, it's better than no progress.
Thanks. Thanks, Matt.
I got you, buddy.
You got it. All right, we're in part four right now. So my kid hasn't shown up, but you know who is going to show up to MHP Arena? It's SC Freiburg. Now, we're hosting them. As it turns out, they're a pretty good team. Matt, they used to be this plucky, fun team. What are your thoughts on them before we break down the what we're up against?
Freiburg's, we talked about this, I think it was last year, that they're just kind of there. Like, there's nobody on their team that makes me real mad. There's nobody on their team I get real excited about. Their logo is black and white. It's, yeah, all right. I don't know. I have no idea what to think of them. They've won both their games. The last one was against Werder Bremen, and they only won 1-0. Mm-hmm. So, all right, I'm not shaking in my boots. The first week, they had, where'd it go? Hoffenheim, and they won 2-1, so again, not shaking in my boots. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think it's going to be a good test. We'll know a lot more about this team after we come out from the other side of the Freiburg match.
I don't understand Freiburg. I mean, I think they're like Union Berlin. It's Hominis asked us this on Twitter. Is like, how are they so good, and why can't we be like them or Union Berlin? I think part of it's expectations. Is like, the expectations in Freiburg and Union Berlin are relatively low, right? And I think there's not a lot of pressure for them to perform. And so they keep the same coach forever, right? Christian Streich has been there forever. So I think that's part of it. It's interesting because I think for the first time in a while, there are expectations on Freiburg. Now, they're 2-0, but like you mentioned, their two wins aren't super impressive. They got two meh wins against Hoffenheim and Bremen. So I'm not really sure what to expect. Here's the thing, though. They own us. It was famous. Pellegrino couldn't get a win against Strike. We're 0-5 in our last five against them. We lost 0-1 last year at home, and then we lost 2-1 at Freiburg in the famous Dan Axel double penalty kick match, where he gave up not one but two penalty kicks. One was pretty legit. The other one was questionable. So Dan had a rough match in that one. Predictions, odds. I'll start with my prediction in this one. I don't think we can keep a clean sheet. They're just super efficient, but I don't think they're the same Freiburg the last 2-3 years. I think the European play that they've got, I think the players that they've lost, I think the fact it's at home is all in our benefit here. I like our chances to get some goals on the board. Seyru is one of the best strikers in the Bundesliga. It's just, I love his chances to score. I like a lot of what you said earlier is the guys bouncing back. We mentioned this a ton last year, is that the home crowd support is a legit thing. And this is a derby, right? It's become a derby, I think, between these two. And I think the Stuttgart faithful are feeling it a little bit because Freiburg has owned this, you know, so much. I like our chances to get some goals in this one. What do you think about the score? And then I love to do this with you every week. What do you think the odds makers have this one at?
I like to think that we could put two past Freiburg. Werder Bremen at the absolute bottom of the table held them, only allowed one goal from Freiburg, didn't put up any. Hoffenheim put one by him, only allowed two. Doesn't feel like this is a real offensively dangerous Freiburg team. I think we could probably hold up against them. I'm feeling 2-1 for Stuttgart, and I'm not feeling bad or overly optimistic about it like I definitely was last week when I said the same thing about Leipzig.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a 2-1 result either way. I'm going to go with Stuttgart in this one. I know, it's dangerous to do that. These guys have owned us the last 2.5 years, whether it's the Pokal, whether it's the Bundesliga. They're the kings of Baden-Württemberg now. What do you think the odds makers have this one? We are hosting it, so usually that would mean we're the favorite. So what do you think?
I think because we're hosting it and because of Freiburg's opponents so far, we're getting half a goal.
You are 2 for 2 in the last 2
weeks. Moving to Vegas for a new job.
What is that job going to be? Dancer?
I'm not sure yet. Well, yeah, I mean, obviously that'll be the evening time, but what do I do during the day?
All right, so it's Stuttgart minus half a goal in this one. I'm going to go 2-1 in this one. You said 2-1. You sticking with that?
I'm going to stay there. Yeah, I think Freiburg might get one by us. Daxo might have a brain fart. Anybody could have that one colossal mistake we seem to have every game. But I feel like Seiru and company should be able to chip 2 by.
Yeah, I love this next month because we've got them. We've got Mainz. We've got Cologne. We've got Darmstadt coming up. This is a really important 4-week stretch for us. And Freiburg's probably the best team in that stretch. And I go back to what we said earlier is the last couple seasons, it's always started off with a team we should beat, a team we shouldn't beat, and a team that'll really test us. This is the match that's going to test us. And I'm really excited to see where we're at. Any special message to Austin, who is the Freiburg supporter? He's in charge of Northern California's Freiburg Society fan supporters. Any message, shout out, wager you want to throw out in his direction?
Well, Austin and the two other people who are members of the Freiburg Appreciation Society of Northern California, or whatever they're calling themselves this week. No, I don't feel a need to trash talk. I think the team's going to do it for me.
This isn't a derby. We don't consider you even at our level. That's right. We're waiting for Heidenheim, jerk. So there you go.
Yeah. Take that, suckers. You know what? I will say one thing. Decide on a color scheme. Just pick one. Your badge is one color. Your jerseys are another color. What do you pick something. They're as bad as the Hanover 97 team with a green badge and a red kit.
That's right. This coming from the club that just threw out green jerseys this past weekend. So.
Yeah, but those were sweet.
That's right. In our defense, those, Jaco, you nailed it once again. So that's totally fair. All right, Matt, thanks so much for joining us this week. Hopefully next week we talk to you after we get back off the schneid, get another 3 points, and we can tell Austin from our heart to suck it.
Yeah, suck it, Austin. And just one last time, guys, remember, it's very early. Sample size of 2 so far. We're going to be okay. It's a long season. Don't freak out.
Guidance counselor Matt here. Thanks.
We'll all do some journaling later about how this podcast made us feel.
One time in band camp. All right, everybody. Hope you feel better after that one. We'll talk to you next time.
reingetankt in 16er. Und Koulibaly, ja, und da ist der Anschlusstreffer! Ja. Jetzt kommt die Ecke rein, Borna Sosa. Wagnermann kriegt ihn da nicht. Und dann 2:2!
Sonne macht vorne rein. Guter Ball. Und Silas.
Tor! 3-3! 3-3! Silas! Wie schön! Kein Fuß